You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz on the 26th of September, day one of camp in the books, a look at what took place and the task that Quinn Snyder has. Plus, the value of Andre Roberson may swing the West coming off a significant injury, and the Culture Code interview with Epe Udo. Was that hard to say, or am I just lame this morning? Who knows? It's Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers. You can get it on Google Podcasts. Hopefully. Some people having problems with that. I'll try to pin something, as I said on Twitter. I did not do that yesterday. Apple Podcasts, or you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. By the way, if you some people unsubscribe and resubscribe are solving the Google problem. We do not know. Weird thing, we cannot figure out what has caused it or why. And Google, really, frankly, can't either in the conversations I've had with them. Hope you're doing great. Day one of the training camp is in the books. It was so fun to be in the gym. Went to both sessions yesterday. Really just great to see everyone. Good, really. Ron Boone and I were there for both of them. Talked about that there was really just great energy in the building. That I think, was the obvious thing that jumped out to both of us, is that amongst the group, there just is super energy, excitement. And then Quinn is really diligent with them right now, that they are ahead of the game. And so it's clear that he's not trying to put them out there at a huge level of time. The morning session probably had about an hour and 20 minutes of court time, and then the afternoon session probably had about an hour and 30. Morning had some 5-on-5, afternoon did not. I'll get into a few more things I think are going on. Thanks very much for everyone who's joined our Facebook group. Our latest members are Justin Spencer from Las Vegas, Nevada, and Matthew Wyatt, who both have joined. We've had a big run on members recently, and want to thank Matthew, Craig Altman, Mitch Erickson, Nathan Berg, Justin McCurdy, Thomas Farg, Landon Wilson, Matthew Sheeran, Corey Christensen, Sam Purston, Stephen Harris, Kenneth John Murdoch, Jessica Croxford, Matthew Lund, Ben Schreier, Kelly Frayer, Spencer Mayfield, Leela Martinez, Jordan Davidson, and Jeremy Wilson. And everyone who gives me a hard time when I say that we're 98% men. Okay, there were two women in there, so I was wrong. But thank you very much for joining the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. It's been a really good conversation. Today's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South 20th East. I'm going to stop by today. All right. Let me talk. I think Quinn Snyder, this was the feeling I had watching practice. I think Quinn Snyder has a really tough task. And that is that he's sitting there going through some of the defensive fundamental systems that the Jazz run. Like, so if you're defending the pick and roll, you're doing one of kind of four different defensive structures. You're either, the guard comes off the pick and roll, you're either trapping it, so most teams call that a blitz. You're either switching it. You've heard Ron Boone refer to this on the broadcast. We call that to black. You're either playing the big up at screen level and impacting the ball, or you're dropping the big all the way back. So what's interesting to me on this is that the Jazz players, this same group, other than Grayson Allen, have all gone through those four drills with Quinn Snyder and this coaching staff a bunch of times. And so Quinn has to somehow get through practice right now with these guys staying engaged on something they've done a million times. Like, there's a level where I think you go to training camp and it's new and you got new players and you're wondering how everyone's going to work together and what's going to happen. Like, that does not exist in this. That does not exist in this camp at all, because these guys know exactly if we're playing Rudy up, then the backside guy's doing this. And Quinn's going back through all of that because you've got to reestablish the habits that Quinn talks about all the time with his team, where you want, you know, you really want to rebuild the habits of this team, who they are, what the premises are, remind everyone, go back through it. And, you know, when you look at that, I think that the I don't know, maybe I'm overplaying this. I think it's a difficult task to have these guys staying completely engaged there. And I think that's what he's going to have to get them to do it. It's easier if you're teaching them something brand new or they've never done before or something different. And I think the slippage, it's almost as though he's going to need a loss or two in the process to have this team kind of bounce back or something. And I think they're engaged right now as day one, but it was just an interesting moment, even as sometimes as someone who's, you know, I've been to almost every practice and, I knew, right? Like when he started talking about, well, if Rudy's here, then I knew, like, oh, that means Royce O'Neal on the backside's got to be there. Like I know it, they know it, we all know it. And so it's an interesting dance, I think, for Quinn right now. I love the messaging he's giving to the players. There's a two-part message that he's sending. He did it in media day. He did it with a media session yesterday. He's clearly sending to the players. One is, we're not the same. This is not the same group. Don't rest on your laurels. Just because we won last year doesn't mean we're coming back to win again this year. Like, I think that's a really interesting messaging, and I think it's smart. Like, better engage, guys. This does not, and a little bit also, just because you got minutes last year doesn't mean they're guaranteed. This year, there's a lot of aspects to that message that is really astute by Quinn right now, and Dennis was involved in that messaging as well, to these guys. The second thing that I love, and Quinn talked to the media about this after practice, is I'm looking for slight incremental gains. In other words, we're you know, as much as we're not the same team, we were really good last year. So we're not looking for you to do something dramatically different. We had last year, you know, if you look at the efficiency ratings, the number tied for number one defense, the offense was ranked, I think, 15th overall, and we were the fifth best team in the NBA. We don't need something dramatic here. We need incremental gains. We need Ricky Rubio to have one less turnover on a given night. We need Royce O'Neal, instead of a pull-up two, to take a three. We need Donovan Mitchell to get to the free throw line two more times a night. We don't need anything drastic. We need Rudy Gobert to get one more offensive rebound on a switch. We need Derek, right? Like, it's not, we're not looking for someone, and I think to some extent this is a quest by Quinn. I haven't talked to him about it. I think it's a really interesting, I'm going to try to dig in a little bit. I think it's a really interesting approach. I think it's a little bit of, hey, don't go screw this thing up, right? Like, we all get along. We've got a nice balance here. Don't, you know, Joe Ingles took 8.8 shots a game last year. Don't go suddenly try to take 13. You'll screw it up. He referred to Ricky Rubio as an opportunistic scorer. Okay, Ricky took 11 shots a game last year. Don't go try to take 16 to open the year up and screw this thing up. I don't need you to try to be a dramatically different player. Like, if we can get Ricky Rubio post All-Star break where he's averaging 15 points and 5 rebounds and 6 assists, yeah, that's a little bit, I mean, that's a lot. That was pretty awesome compared to the 12.4 rebound, 5 assists. Like, but I think to Quinn's point is, like, hey, that's just actually making one more three. Like, you in the first half of the season, you know, you hit 32%, and in the second half of the season, you hit 41%. That's just making one more three. It's nothing dramatic. It's not taking a huge amount more shots. It's not, in fact, I think he, in the case of Ricky, I think his shot attempts were virtually the exact same pre-All-Star break and post. He just made one more shot. And I think that's the messaging. And I really like that. I think it's awfully smart by Quinn to go to that angle of things. Andre Roberson maybe the most important player in the Western Conference. Feels like a crazy stretch to say something like that, but let's touch on that. And then Epe Udo culture interview, all coming up on today's edition of Locked on Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by The Store. Just love The Store. 6200 South, 20 of these. I was with a really good friend, yesterday, and she was talking about shopping around that area. I was like, have you been to The Store? I started telling about her, and she was like, oh my gosh, you love this place. And maybe it's a little over the top, but I do. It's got such a great feel. You walk in at 6200 South and 20th East, and the first thing that just jumps out to you is the community feel and energy that's in the building. Scott and Jeff have built a grocery store, but what they've really built is they've built a place where you can feel that they're searching around and want to have a Utah atmosphere to it. And that is what's so great. You walk in, if you go to the right-hand side to start, there's the kombucha and the cold brew taps right there that they've put in recently. Actually, not that recently anymore, but it was recent for a while, I guess. Then you go over and the bakery is to your right, and you will see the mudslide cookies, which you must get or check it out. Some people think that they're too rich. I disagree. I think they're divine. I'm going to have to stop by today maybe and go grab one. And then you work your way around the back. And if you get over to the left-hand side, you have all the produce. You can see in the back where they're making their own salsa. I had their tomatillo salsa I think that's what it was this morning on my omelet. Absolutely love it. Back is the fresh food. You'll just stop by. 6200 South, 20 of these. June pies are there as well. Check out the great June pies. I think you'll find out some great stuff. They had a great little event going on with the Cook Like a Chef event going on. They've got their marinated in chicken, beef, and the sous vide cooker that they have, showing you how you can do that. They also have a great cheese they've just added to their whole cheese area, and they are making chocolate eclairs fresh in the store. Like, I didn't need that. I already got the mudslide cookies. Why are you guys doing that? All right, it is The Store, 6200 South, 20th East. The Thunder are this team that everyone loves right now. And, I mean, I think there's a legitimate argument that this team could be great. And frankly, how important is, you know, do the Jazz beat the Thunder last year if Andre Roberson is guarding Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs? Like, that's just the question. Jared Dubin at Fanside did a good piece on him this week. Andre Roberson guarded the team leader in usage 25% of the time. Now, the reason I bring this up is because we have all been on a journey together about what is the value of a defensive player. Like, nobody put Andre Roberson in the top 100 players. Rudy Gobert, I argue, is top 10. I'm on my island about this. But if you look at Andre Roberson, who's the worst shooter in the NBA, the worst shooter in all of the NBA, in the last 4 years, when he's on the floor, they're plus 5.6 compared to off the floor, plus 4.1, plus 7.5, plus 9.5. How's that possible? He's the worst shooter in the league. But his defensive prowess is so great. 25% of all of his minutes are against the leading usage guy on the other team. Like, what that does for them, the burden it takes off the other players, how it impacts them. It's an enormous luxury for the Thunder and an amazing value that we don't talk about in this league. The four-man defensive unit of the Thunder of Westbrook, Robertson, Paul George, and Steven Adams, which they will have back this year if he's healthy, and then they'll play Jeremy Grant or Patrick Patterson at the four or however they plan to do it, or slide Paul George down, was the number two four-man defensive unit in the league last year at 94.9. As long as Carmelo was on the floor, that didn't happen. The Jazz group was better. Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and Rudy Gobert, because Rudy Gobert is the defensive rim protector that Andre Roberson is on the wing. And so here's this player in Andre Roberson that we don't think about a lot. We don't talk about a lot. I think he dictates whether the Thunder are a top three team in the Western Conference or 6-9. They're not going to be a great offensive team. They have two high usage, low efficiency players in Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder. They're going to be great if they're elite defensively. And they're elite defensively if Andre Robertson plays. What's interesting about Andre Robertson, as of 2 days ago, he's still limited to non-contact work. They expect to, quote, clear him soon. And he'll be limited to non-contact work throughout camp. It's unlikely he'll be ready by the start of the season. So, well, wait, this is one of the most important players in the league coming off a ruptured patella tendon, which is a unique injury. And if you start to go through the history of torn patella or partially torn, it gets a little interesting. Like, Cedric Ceballos had it in 96-97 and continued to have knee problems forever, never quite became the same. Antonio McDice subluxated his left patella, which is not the same thing as the ruptured patella tendon that both Jeremy Lin and Andre Robertson had last year. He initially had no surgery, then had surgery, missed the whole year. Next year was placed with the Knicks, went to the Knicks, immediately went on IR with left inflammation, then required another surgery and played 42 games in 2003-2004. Now, he was 27, 29 years old. Andre Robertson was born in 91, so he's 27 years old. Turns 28 this Christmas. He's a little younger. At 34 years old, Glenn Rice had a partial tear of his patella tendon, was out the remainder of the season, played 62 games the next year, but continued to have knee problems. Damon Stoudemire, at age 32, had a right patella tendon problem in 2006 after injuring it, was out the remainder of the season, and continued to have problems with it, played 62 games, and his play considerably dropped. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting. Kalani Azubuike, who you probably don't remember, but he tore his patella tendon, his left knee, and kind of never played again. So Andre Robertson is a huge key to who the Thunder are in their quest to go get the Jazz. And I don't know. Like, I think he's crazy valuable. There's all sorts of guys who also broke or dislocated their patella, which is a little different. By the way, I want to thank Blazers Edge of SB Nation, who did this, you know, many, many years ago when Greg Oden had it. So some of these are old, but it's a pretty interesting work. I mean, in the New York Times did a story in February of 2018 that about this, it basically talked about tendon tears are an incredible one of the things that kind of takes you out of your run, you know, to come back. I think that's and so I think that's a, you know, I don't know, like, I don't want to overplay this, but it's a pretty interesting element of things. You know, the ACL tears, what we talk about, that seems to be the most people are able to come back from. The Achilles tendon is really the biggest problem. No one is talking about the patella tendon tear. And, you know, if you look back at Robertson, by the way, he missed 8 games with patella tendonitis before. So he had some early indications that this was a possibility to be heading down this road, and should be interesting to see. So, I don't know, keep an eye on that. I think it's a huge story. I think he's amazingly valuable. We do have some advertising space available, like right here. This is an open spot where your company, local Utah company, could be on Locked On Jazz. If you'd like to, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. If you're an NFL fan, have a favorite team, remember Wednesday is Crossover Wednesday. That means that the two teams are matching up this weekend, do their shows together. It's one of our best days across the network. On the NFL side of things, it's Crossover Wednesday. Epe Udo, Culture Code interview coming up next. If you have not heard these interviews, the concept is the book Culture Code, the culture of the Utah Jazz, what has allowed it to build. Epe and I sat down and talked about it, and he has a very, very interesting answer to why, who he thinks is the guy that gives the positive energy to the group and allows it to maintain this level of elite level culture. So interesting comments coming up from Epe Udo.
right up the alley of Epe Udo with some book club, basically, here. The book is Culture Code that led to these conversations, so he would like this. But from your team standpoint, when you guys left last year, almost every interview talked about family, that it felt like a family. Why is that, and what does that mean?
Well, you have to give credit to, you know, Mr. Lindsay and Coach Snyder for putting the roster together. Really good group of guys, hung out. And we were able to get over small incidences. You know, you watch teams, a small, you know, incident can turn into something longer and linger. We were able to get over that. And I think that showed throughout the year.
Why does a certain group add up and other groups don't?
I think you got to have players who are willing to listen. I think that's the biggest. We have a team of guys who listen.
Do you feel the connection? Is there a moment in time you look back last year like, oh, like, or?
Probably around the time we lost to Atlanta in the second half of the season. There, maybe. No, here. Yeah. Was it here or there?
Well, there's the worst one.
Yeah,
we go to Detroit. We fly to Detroit the next day. We have the off day in Detroit. You guys have a players' union meeting,
and we win that game. I think that started to turn, and then Ricky Rubio's play, and then of course Donovan, and then we pretty much got healthy.
They do these studies, and they take a group of people, and then they plant a negative person in the group, and even though they're not really doing anything to the group performs much less well. And then they do the same thing with a positive person and positive energy, except even though they're not really doing anything, but they change the group.
Right.
In this group, who's that positive person? Who are those positive people?
I would say myself. You know, of course, there comes times where you get down on yourself, but for the most part, I hype up my guys. Joe does it in his own special way.
I need to find special, Hebe.
Yeah, you know, if you know Joe Ingles, man, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, I think we all do a good job of that. But then having the guys on the bench who may not be playing, as long as they're locked in and hyping up their teammates, I think that's always going to be positive.
In the study that were done, they basically felt that all the cultures have a common thread that you have to feel safe amongst the group, that there has to be a feeling of safety, that actually human instinct is to look for danger and what's going to go wrong all the time. What allows someone to feel safe inside this group?
That's a tough one, because when I'm thinking of safety, I'm thinking of something totally different.
Another way to phrase it would be a willing to be vulnerable, willing to share, willing to be open about.
I don't know. I mean, as far as the basketball part, I think this, our system plays a big part in that. That everybody is going to touch the ball. We have movement, so I think that plays a big part in the safety part. But off the court, I don't really. Everybody hangs out. I mean, everybody has a solid personality.
Is there a willingness to share amongst the group off the court? About life, thoughts?
Oh, yeah, we definitely have our conversations in the locker room with whatever may be going on the court, and then what's going on off the court. As you see, there's a lot of that in the world today. So we definitely share all of that, go out to eat, and we do things together.
Who drives that?
Who drives it? Just different individuals. It's not really one guy who's starting it up. It's just, hey, y'all hungry? No? Okay, cool. You are? Let's go eat. You know, and everybody can hold a conversation.
But it is I think what you just said is true. I'm just going to back you up. I try not to talk about like what I see in the hotel lobby and things like that. People get excited about the – I mean, I'm thinking about Sacramento. I think it was you and Ricky and all. We were talking about Underground Railroad, and they started picking on you. Like, are you going to talk to Ingles?
Right.
Were you going to talk to Locke or go to dinner with us? Like, right? Like,
yeah. So.
But, I mean, that was a group, and that group that night, I'm not sure that that's the same group that goes out other nights. Like, I think that's maybe what you're talking about, and that's really what I was trying to get to is the group – it's like on that night, I think it was you and Joe and Ricky and Rudy and Howell. I'm not sure that that's a group that has dinner a lot.
No, it was just like, you hungry? You know, of course we're all grown men. We have our own issues and things to deal with. But sometimes it all comes together when we can all go out to eat.
Watching you last year, the on-floor communication was constant. Is that unique to compared to other teams you've played on?
Yes and no. I guess you could say that. My time in Istanbul, that's what we had to do. Here, I think we just understand the importance, and then it helps everybody get on the same page. That's something that coach will preach.
Coach will preach. Communication. Over-communication is actually what they say drives a culture.
Well, I mean, yeah, Coach Quinn Snyder is definitely over-communicator, but that's his specialty. That's what makes him who he is. That trickles down to us.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Have you seen Quinn Snyder?
I go to practice. Yeah, it's better if you talk about it.
He's always prepared. You know, when the season starts, he's locked in to whatever we need to do to get better. I mean, he breathes the game of basketball. You know, a lot of people say they actually do it, but when you see him in the morning, he has that pep, and he can break down anything with you anytime. Doesn't even look like he sleeps at times.
He doesn't.
So just shows you how much he puts into the game.
I just had a thought. So if we're in our book club, we're sharing back and forth. Mm-hmm. So we talk about the safety. How much is there a safety as a player that you know your head coach is that prepared?
Oh, yeah. You even when we had December last year, he said, we just got to get through it. Keep working. We're going to get over this, and we're going to have a great season. You say it so many times, you only got to believe it. And then it clicked, you know. Like, of course, we were a new team, so the offense was a little different. But once it clicked, then we kept believing, and then we got healthy. And, you know, the emergence of Donovan. Fave had a great stretch as well. Then you get Jay Crowder in, and then it just all clicked. And I think it had to do with him always saying it because December was rough, you know.
Take it personally for a second. You are here as a player, wherever that is in your mind. Share us with that. And where do you want to go?
Just want to be a rotational player, you know, and just give maximum effort to win. That's all that really matters. You want to win. You know, it's going to be a tough season this year. But when you win, everybody looks good, you know.
From a team standpoint, where do you think the team is? Where do you want to go? And I'm adding one on. What are the obstacles?
To me, I think we're one of the best teams, top five teams in the league. But we got to continue to work. We got to continue to develop and do all the small things, and lock that in. Our ceiling, you know. Who knows? Because we can play with any team. But like I said, we got to continue to develop. We don't have to start from the beginning with the offense. We already know what it is. So we can come in and be ready to go from whatever the 15th or the 17th of October. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a good year.
Final question. Is there anybody that exemplifies this culture we've talked about the whole time? If you had to put one person to represent the culture, who would you throw out there?
I mean, of course, I'd throw myself out there. I would throw, man, pretty much the team. Like, we pretty much all have that, you know, like, we're all from different parts of the world as well, you know. So we all bring in something from different cultures.
Epe, pleasure.
Thank you for having me, man.
Hope you enjoyed the Culture Code interview on the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. Be interested to hear your discussion on what you thought about Epe. I thought his answer that's himself is the guy who gives the positive energy is probably really accurate. Like, to some extent, these bench guys' willingness to play their role and not disrupt the apple cart are that important. Howell Netto tomorrow on the show coming your direction with a Culture Code interview. On that, we'll give you more reports at LockedOnJazz.net on this practice. There's a practice report from yesterday if you want to catch that as well. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.